I have something to say about the House of Horrors match as well.
It's going to be shit.
I think it's going to start off with a pre-recorded segment.
Fucking go. What was that match? Remember that match years ago they had on the highway?
Roddy Piper and Goldust, WrestleMania 12.
Was that where they were in the back of a van? With the haystacks?
That was actually Goldust. That was Dustin. Did you see that match we were talking about at OTT? They had it in Japan somewhere with the train. Did you hear about that?
No.
And basically a train's going around and it stops at every stop and a wrestler gets on and they're fighting on the train. And there's all these promo pictures of wrestlers standing at train stations and I was like, this is my stop. I'm ready to get on. God. Then it stops, he gets on.
It's great. Imagine doing OTT, you should do it on the dark.
What if you were to join a certain club? Oh! You're going to join the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. Come on, it's not like you have to kiss some big old greasy, fat, hairy Oklahoma ass.
That would be yours, JR. Come on.
I've got a nice ass. He needs to kiss my ass. I gotta tell you, that's a mighty fine looking ass, isn't it? It can do tricks. Watch this.
Welcome to the Kiss My Ass Club podcast payback special. This is our prediction show. I'm Paul.
I'm Richie.
I'm Dave.
Great. So we're just going to go off the list on Wikipedia in order. Why the fuck not? So first up, we've got Enzo Amore, Big Cass versus Gallows and Anderson. I don't know. Who do you think is going to go over?
I think Enzo and Cass are due a win on a pay-per-view. Yeah. I think they've been losing a lot recently, and I think that Gallows and Anderson, they've had a decent title run. I know they lost their titles, made sense with the Hardys and stuff, but I think it's the time now, especially to open the show. It's on the kickoff. Get the crowd going with a pop. Enzo and Cass win.
Okay. Dave?
I actually went for Gallows and Anderson just because I feel, based on you said, I mean, Enzo and Cass haven't been doing a whole lot. They are kind of, it does make sense what you're saying there, the duo win. But, you know, I think that they've been getting, you know, particularly people have been making a big deal about Enzo's been getting ragdolled a lot. Like, coming out to poor receptions and stuff. They do need the win, but for some reason, I thought Gallows and Anderson just seemed like a no-brainer for me.
What I think they need to do is they need to change the promo. Like, I like when it comes, my name's Enzo Amore and all that kind of stuff. But then they need to kind of, you know, cater to whoever their opponents are.
Yeah, they never do that.
And I think that you need to get Gallows and Anderson in the ring first, then have Enzo and Cass come out and have him cut a promo on them.
Like when they debuted with the Dudleys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Come out and just trash them.
Because they were kind of heelish. Not heelish, but they got a bit personal with the Dudleys
that
time.
Exactly.
Like,
and
your shitty eye and all this is like, oh.
Because Enzo's great on the mic. Like, just let him do that. But when he comes out and just does the shtick, says a few jokes, chicken dances around the ring, it's just the same thing. As soon as they come out on Raw, I fast forward. Because I know it's going to be a 5-minute entrance. I did it this week on Raw, and I fast forward, and Enzo's laid out, and Samoa Joe's beating the crap out of him. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Why did I fast forward this?
Rewind.
But apparently, that's happening because the rumor online is that Vince McMahon thinks it's hysterical when he sees him get ragdolled.
Oh, really?
So it's happening every week now. It's like, he just thinks it's funny to look at him get beaten up really, really badly.
Oh, it makes sense, though. You've got the small guy and the big guy, so the big guy has to, you know, get payback.
But I think Triple H even said in an interview, he says, Enzo has the face of a guy that you really want to see get beaten up, like.
He does. But it's weird, because he's a face, he's meant to be a face, but he is that kind of guy, like, we talked about before, where you'd hate to be around him, he'd be trying to score with your bird.
Yeah.
They did that. That storyline with Rusev. And it's like, he kind of nearly should be, he should be a weasel heel, hiding behind the back of Big Cass, and he should be going around trying to get away with murder and always running back to Cass, and Cass has to send up for him. You build to a feud where Cass eventually gets sick of it and you split them up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they'll do a year down the road or something.
We actually talked on, Big Cass was on Jericho's podcast, and Jericho pitched the idea of putting Enzo in the cruiserweight division. And then having Cass go on his run, which I think would be interesting. I know he's not as good of a worker as like an Austin Aries or Neville, but he has that personality. It might add that little bit of a spark to that division. It needs it, you know.
Maybe it's the way he's been booked, but I don't actually think of him as. I really think of him more as a manager who gets roughed up than a wrestler.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A lot of people are calling for that, and he'd be a great manager, is what people are saying. You know.
But that's not just. Maybe he's deadly in the ring now, but he's just not being afforded that opportunity.
It's the style as well. Like, he's not getting in and like chain wrestling, and he doesn't have a lot of offense because you can't tell if he's a good wrestler then.
Yeah, so
because he gets in, he gets beaten up, he hot tags Cass, and it works.
Yeah,
it's a great hot tag.
Yeah,
so
and you can see they like Big Cass because, like, when they came in originally and Enzo got injured, straight away they had Big Cass in like singles matches and like you know,
he was mixing it with the main eventers.
He was straight away, and he was doing grand. You know, you can kind of see Big Cass will be okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought initially he's not the mic guy, and usually the mic guy gets on.
Yeah.
But no, he'll be fine. So you guys are split on it. I'm hoping the club win, because at this point I'm not particularly mad about either tag team. I don't think either of them have much momentum, so I'd just like to see some of that go back to the club, because I think it's easier to get Enzo and Big Cass going again.
Yeah,
I think it's easier to pump them up. They don't need a win to get them moving.
But you can also, they can lose and still look strong.
Exactly,
because they can beat up Enzo, they can do something after the match, so you can do either
one. Yeah. Next up, we're going to look at Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho. They're not on the same brand anymore. And Richie, as you were saying,
so basically, if Chris Jericho wins, he will then be drafted to SmackDown, because it wasn't actually Kevin Owens that was drafted over, it was the titles that were swapped. So the Intercontinental title and the US title were swapped over with whoever the champion is.
Yeah.
But apparently, if Jericho wins, he goes to SmackDown, but Kevin Owens stays on SmackDown and they stay together. But like, Chris Jericho's not winning, so it's absolutely no difference at all. You know, he's made it very public. He's already booked. He's booked a show in June that we're going to
the meet and greet. Chris Brennan.
Yeah, he's booked the tour with Fozzy. You know, they've already said, it was a rumor, and that next week's Raw is going to be his last Raw for a while. So like, he's not winning that match.
No, he's not. And we know the outcome, Dave.
Well, this just reeks of like a classic then, post-Mania. We have to fight each other again on the next pay-per-view. Mm. But in terms of like, they can't even 50-50 book this. They have to, you know, Owens has to win to look strong. He has to keep hold of that title. And as you said, Jericho's leaving. So yeah, Kevin Owens for me.
I think he needs to win stronger than he won at Mania. The powerbomb on the apron was good, but I think he just needs to win clean. Straight powerbomb, that's it.
Mm.
Because he's going into a feud with AJ Styles after this. So he has to look like he's good enough to beat AJ Styles. And the only way to do that is to convincingly squash.
I think this match would be just to evolve his character. He's coming out with a different look.
Mm.
And there's rumours that he might even wrestle in a suit at some stage. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. It's really cool. I like this new gimmick, though.
That's great. I think he looks great. Because it feels like an evolution, and it, you know, he's really adding some validity to that title. Yeah. Like it feels
it's
like a weird, bigger deal.
Yeah,
it
straight
is,
away you put the US title on him. It's like, oh, US title means something.
Yeah.
So you can resurrect these titles, but maybe it's obviously more about the guy holding it than the booking around.
It's the strongest champ that they've had since Kalisto, I think.
Next up, we're looking at the Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. That's for the titles, and they've done the last couple of weeks. They've had singles matches, so it was Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro. Then we had Sheamus versus Matt Hardy. Each instance, Cesaro and Sheamus lost,
which was a surprise.
And then they shook hands after the match, and funnily enough, it felt like Cesaro and Sheamus were the ones offering their hands first.
Yes,
like they were being the good sports. So do we see, and WWE seem to be coming to terms with TNA about the deletion gimmick. Do we think all that's going to come into the fold? Are Hardy's going to turn heel, deletion-y weird thing tonight?
It's kind of weird because like Matt's definitely starting to kind of come out of his shell a little bit more on Raw. He's acting a bit like more like broken Matt.
And his Twitter's gone
a bit mental. Like, and you know, he's trolling people. But I have a funny feeling the Hardys are going to lose. I don't know if they're going to go down the route of the broken, you know, Matt Hardy and all that kind of stuff. I think if they do that, they should do it with Bray Wyatt, because it makes sense. He fits in with that character. If Bray Wyatt was to get to Matt Hardy, then do it that way. But I think, just by the way it's been booked and looking at Sheamus and Cesaro, I think it would make sense if they won. I hate title changes being month to month, but
I hate it as well, but I actually have them down for a win as well.
I think they should win,
because I think the Hardys had the WrestleMania moment. I think for storyline purposes to carry this feud, you should probably have a title change, and then maybe the broken thing can come out as a storyline later on. They can come back then as a different thing and win them back at a later date.
Yeah.
Is what I think might happen.
Because you know, the WWE just want to split them up anyway.
They want to push Jeff.
They want Jeff to be a main eventer.
Yeah.
And I mean, they probably see a lot of money in Matt as well in the mid to upper card.
Yep.
He could go between the two. He could be another guy you just stick in the US title, and he makes that title valid again. And it's funny, like, we're going into this, we might talk about it later, but just the title situation just feels a little bit in flux at the moment.
Yeah.
Next up, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt in a rematch from Mania that's not for the championship, because Jinder Mahal stole the championship. So, you know, Jesus. They wrote themselves into a hole, obviously, with this one, where it was a rematch, but it was a non-title match, House of Horror, so their way out is just Jinder has a title, so it can't be for the title, because Orton's already booked to fight Jinder for the title at Backlash. So
it's the whole back to this superstar shakeup where they wanted to originally move AJ Styles to Raw. He went babyface, so they had to keep him, and then all their plans changed. They needed to move over heel, have a heel on Raw. They decided it was Bray. I think Bray was supposed to continue like a couple of months of a program at Randy Orton, which kind of makes sense. They've only had one pay-per-view match.
Yeah.
Why not have a couple more? Like, you know, I know Randy's going to beat him every time.
Well, it was a dull feud anyway.
Yeah, it was.
Just kill it.
Yeah, I like the fact that it was like they committed to it. It was a long feud.
It was a long feud.
Yeah. I actually have some notes here. I'll just read it. I have some notes on this match. Just, I don't care. That's all I have. Like, I really don't care about this match.
No.
It's just post-Mania. People that fought at Mania have to fight again at the next pay-per-view. Like, and that's what this is. Like,
it's quite clever because they've moved people around. And because I think it's like a lot of people, you think about the amount of casual fans that have signed up for the network just for WrestleMania. You get 30 days free, which means you get payback.
Yeah.
So a lot of these customers are going to get payback as a second pay-per-view. And they're like, all right, I'll watch it and see what happens. If they stack that card, which they have done, having multiple championships, having like, I'm surprised they don't have the Intercontinental title on it because Ambrose is on Raw now. They missed a beat with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're making up for the Universal title.
Well, see, maybe they can only feel they can have one mid-card belt on. So that's the US title.
Possibly, yeah. But you can see what they're doing because Brock's not there. So they're trying to bulk it up. It's like, yeah, the WWE title match we can have. You know, the US title match.
But it's not a WWE title match, though.
Not now because of the hero gender line.
The hero gender.
I love him.
Do you?
Yeah, I love him. I love gender. He's a
wet blanket. I don't get it.
I think it's great.
I think it's great because it's something different, but yeah. It's not booked well.
It's interesting because if you go back to watch the NXT, the earliest tapings there are on the network, it's Jinder versus Rollins for the first NXT championship.
Really?
It's Jinder Mahal who's in the final against them. So, you know, he's obviously well respected, and
you know,
Randy Orton's going to win.
He's going to retain, of course.
If it's not for the title, I think Bray Wyatt should win.
He could win though.
I didn't like my original prediction was Randy because obviously it's a title match. But if Jinder's taking the title, it's a normal match. Why not let Bray win?
But you could say that for the last 5 years. Why not let Bray win? And they haven't. To me, like, Bray is like, it's done now.
Yeah.
You know. Neville. That's so depressing.
As we all get real quiet.
But it's true though. It's like Shinsuke Nakamura coming out for a feud to Dolph Ziggler. I just really don't care. You know, it's not doing anything for me. And I think it's actually hurting Nakamura because the reactions now, week three, are way less. And
the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura.
The artist.
Well, look, you could compare him. He's like Prince, but it's like he's modeling himself on Michael Jackson. But they said no, he's modeling himself on Prince. I don't know. But like that's already a dead duck, that feud. And I think
it just seems to be
hurting.
Dolph Ziggler is the NXT guy. Tyler Breeze got him, Baron Corbin got him, Apollo Crews got him. He is like, it's like the call
up
is like, whoa, it's like I'm gonna fight Dolph Ziggler. It's the first thing you're gonna do. Like he's
a good point. It kind of makes sense, and they're gonna have a good match.
But I don't know whether I'll enjoy it because like for me, for a good match, I usually need a good storyline going into it to be emotionally invested in the results, and I've no emotional investment in this storyline.
I really liked when he interrupted The Miz because I saw potential for a great feud there because The Miz is so good in the mic, he can carry Nakamura. We all know Nakamura has bad mic skills.
On that, the rumor, like I listened to Salon Monster's podcast, and he was saying that original plans, and they all got totally changed for Mania, was Brian would be in this feud with Miz that made sense because Miz kept jiving at him, and the original plan was Brian would come out and announce his representative at Mania and who would it be but Shinsuke.
Would have been great.
Yeah. For the Intercontinental title as well.
And he'd go out and beat the show to Miz, and that would be that storyline, and you were gonna have Cena versus Taker, but apparently Vince heard the idea of like, let's have Cena, you know, propose. And then that changed so many matches, so many repercussions.
Yeah, and then possibly Taker saying this could be my last match.
It was worth it for Nikki Bella's genuine surprise reaction.
Well, apparently he got his 16th title win as a sweetener for doing this. So this proposal has been in the works for months. Like, so God help her. We've got Neville versus Austin Aries in a rematch for Mania. That was on the pre-show at Mania. One of the best matches at Mania.
It was
great match. No harm watching it again.
I like the feud. Like, there's no harm having them have another match. I think if you do something, it's quite predictable, but do something with TJ Perkins.
Have
him go even more heel, and he can just build on
he's
that.
He's a good little heel.
He is. He's great. He's an arsehole. Like,
yeah, you know? But it's great.
I love when he's behind Neville and he's like, oh, you know, like a little prick, and you're like, oh, kid, that's what who Enzo should be actually. Like, yeah, yeah. Something similar to that. But I think do something to have some sort of interference, protect Austin, but let them go 10 minutes and have a good match, which they will.
Yeah.
But no. Neville's winning.
I think. Okay. Yeah, I think Neville should hold on to that for us until it feels right to take it off him, you know. And right now, like, it doesn't.
You're at the point now where you can bring in a cruiserweight and build up someone as the next star. Whoever, like, dethrones the king of the cruiserweights, Neville
beats
him.
But what do you do with Austin Aries though now? Because, like, this will be a second go at it if he loses. No one's going to be interested in seeing a third loss because then he's a loser.
You put him in a program with TJ Perkins. That's the point, I think.
No, but then who do you put against Neville? Who's going to be the next person to be the threat? Not Rich Swann.
Mm.
Like, doesn't... Who... Noam Dar? No.
Maybe like, Akira Tozawa, maybe.
Maybe.
He's really good.
He is. But again, you've got that thing of, will the promos work between the two of them?
He just come out and go, bah, do you ever know the scream he does?
Yeah, but like, that doesn't build, like, for a month. You know, you can't.
Yeah.
So I think that's the problem with Cruiserweight is, like, it's the first time now you've got two guys in the ring who you get invested in and believe in, and they're, but then you need that third and fourth guy.
Yeah, it's up to them to kind of split now and then start to build up other guys.
Exactly.
But I don't, you're right, I have no idea what they're going to do with Neville after this. Maybe he needs to lose then.
No, because I agree with you. The title will mean more if Neville keeps it. Yeah. So, okay, we all want Neville to win.
I think it's probably one of the most legitimate titles in the whole industry at the moment, that Cruiserweight title.
Yeah, I think
he's getting better.
I think your champion should almost feel like, you know, they are unbeatable, because then it means something when they lose it, you know. You should hold on for as long as possible. I thought, like, you know, New Day probably held on to it a little too long, but there was a point where you kind of went, this is amazing. Like, it's so legitimate, like, you know, and if they hadn't had the whole beating Demolition's record, you know, they could have like a really organic loss at some stage, like, and you should always be looking for that, you know.
Also, one more thing on Neville, I really like how he carries the Cruiserweight title. There's a certain way he holds it when he walks to the ring, and that's so important. You compare that to the way like someone like Dean Ambrose carries the Intercontinental title, it means nothing, but I just think how you hold that title makes it seem more significant. Like, he walks out, he holds it a certain way, he puts it on his shoulder a certain way. I think Kevin Owens is really good at that as well. He shows you the title in the right way, you know.
It's pride in it, absolutely. So then look, we're looking at Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. I think it's not really a match I want to see, because
just thinking of that meme. Hey Braun, you're looking pretty strong
and raw. You shame if somebody beats you clean.
And payback.
I mean, payback, what a place to really you know, do this. This should really be Mania next year, I think. I don't think anyone really wants to see Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar, but
that's the plan,
I know, but I think this should be the match they should be building to for Mania next year, not a throwaway pay-per-view like a couple of weeks after WrestleMania. I hope Strowman wins. I mean, if they want to keep Reigns strong, he wins through DQ or something. It just gets completely out of hand. You know, you have Strowman at the moment ruffling loads of feathers every week on Raw. It's great.
He has momentum.
He has momentum, and it'd be terrible just to pull that out from under him.
Yeah.
We had Roman was off TV this week. He was selling an injury, but I kind of thought, well, look, it's obvious because his, God help him, his brother passed away. Mm-hmm.
They showed so many promo videos during that 3-hour
Raw. But then they undid any potential, because what they did is they edited these propaganda videos showing signs in the crowd, "We heart Roman," all this stuff, and like the boos edited out. And I was like, oh man, you're just turning the people on him even more. Like, so, you know, it's a pity, but I don't know. I think it'll be a draw or DQ or something like that.
I think Braun Strowman is my favourite thing in WWE at the moment. Like, everything he does is gold.
He's so entertaining. He's
funny. That Kalisto in the trash thing. He's like, Roman Reigns is garbage. You are too. And he just pops him in the bin. And Kalisto just disappears in the bin. He's gone. It's like, you know,
I'm taking him with me.
Yeah, I'm taking him with me. Like, what are you going to do? Just bring him,
gonna do,
like, bring him to your hotel room and just beat the shit out of him. It's fucking brilliant. Like, and
he's like a really an oversized 2-year-old, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, dragging a teddy along the ground.
Like. Yeah. How big a hypocrite is the Big Show, though? Because, like, Big Show, like, you know, attacks him, you know, pick on some of your own sides. It's like, we forget the time you, like, smashed Rey Mysterio off the ring post when he was strapped to a stretching board and he landed on his fucking face and he couldn't put his hands out. Remember that?
And the biggest bully in fucking WWE.
Biggest bully ever, like, picking on Rey Mysterio. So, but the ring blowing up, it's the third or fourth time we've ever seen it.
It's the third time they've done it with Big Show.
Yeah, but it was good. It was still good.
It was pretty good.
And I like that he gets to have a proper match with the Big Show.
Like it should have been pay-per-view, though.
When he does the kick-up, though. I know it's twice he's done it now.
Yeah.
But Braun Strowman can do a nip-up. I can't do a nip-up.
Yeah. In fairness, Big Show's lifting him a lot.
Yeah, I suppose. But,
I mean, he's not going to be doing a nip-up with Kalisto, you know? No, so.
That would look funny, though.
That'd be weird.
I like that Kalisto beat him, though.
Yeah.
I like that was a nice little touch.
That made sense.
That reaction when he goes into the bin, because
he didn't beat him. You know what I mean? He didn't pin him.
Kalisto could never regret a win more. Like, as soon as he kicked him in the bin, it's like, oh, shit, this guy's going to kill me.
But again, it's a loss that doesn't hurt Strowman.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's fine. You know, it's not like when you have Spike Dudley coming out and pinning the Big Show.
Yeah, okay, but he might do the same. I actually had Strowman down for the win because I thought, you know, Reigns is their long term goal anyway. I don't think it's going to hurt him. But I'm now thinking about it, it'd probably be a DQ. Roman would probably pick it up because Braun will do something overboard, go over the top, and get disqualified.
But at the last match, you did that spot where he tried to splash off the top ropes, which went into the spear, which is really cool. They'll do something like that. Maybe like outside spear into the barrier, or Goldberg style, something like that.
They'll have to do something like
that. And, or you could do something like that might end the match. Like the
but as you say, this is for the casual fan, maybe who bought for Mania, and they might watch this. And so for the casual fan, who does Vince want to push
Roman
to the casual
fan? Roman.
You know, but then again, there's something nice in seeing a monster, you know, David versus Goliath thing for fans. Oh, yeah. So, you know, they might like the monster.
It'll be interesting to see where they go after this. Mm. Because there's so many potential babyfaces for Strowman to work with, like Finn or Seth or anyone. Like, and I really want, I'm looking forward to seeing him in a program with those guys.
But because these guys aren't feuding for the title, why would the feud end in a way?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I don't know who you move Strowman onto, and I don't know who you move. You know, why would they stop feuding? Why, like, if Strowman loses, why would
Strowman wants his title shot, though, doesn't he?
He does, but like the Strowman character, he seems to be like built out of rage and all this kind of stuff. So if Strowman loses, why would he not just keep attacking Roman again?
Yeah,
yeah. Why would he not throw another ambulance on him? You know, So from a storyline logic point of view, that's the only thing.
The pop when like Roman's like getting pushed into the ambulance is like, I'm not true with you yet. And pushes over an ambulance.
It was so cheesy and bullshit, but like the fans didn't give a shit.
Yeah,
they, you know, they're like, fuck it.
Did you see that someone tweeted?
Yeah, well, that's, you want sometimes when it makes sense, like when it's something that you want so badly.
Yeah,
you will just accept. It like it was great. It was good. I thought it was really enjoyable. But you sent it on to me because I was refusing to watch it.
Yeah,
I
made you watch it. Yeah.
Oh, because it was Reigns, you wouldn't watch it.
Oh, I've just like zoned out. Like you know, I've literally just kind of went, I'm going to skip these segments because rather than complain about things that I don't like, I would rather just not put myself through.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
You know, so I kind of do that with things that I don't agree with, and that's just the Roman Reigns for me.
It's not doing anything for you.
Doesn't do anything for me. Not in it. Like, you know, mentioned last one, but like great heels I want to watch.
Yeah.
You know, great babyface I want to watch. Like, I want to watch them all and enjoy them all doing their jobs well. But when something's just being so mishandled, nothing against the guy personally, but when it's being so mishandled, you're just kind of, you take the situation into and you just kind of go, oh, this just annoys me. So I'm just not going to put myself through it.
And I'm bored. Yeah. That's fair enough. Next up, we've got Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe.
That's interesting because I don't know who should win this match.
Joe needs it, I think.
You really think so?
He hasn't been, like, I mean, Seth needs it too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But Joe's just come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really needs it. And he wasn't on the Mania card. You know, he really, really needs it. Now, they might be able to play up Seth's injury angle, you know, but I think Joe needs to come out as looking really, really strong. Like, looking...
He needs to beat up Seth as well. He needs something now. A bit of momentum. Yeah. Rather than being some lackey guy, he needs something to own himself.
Yeah, but it's also the same for Seth because he just beat Triple H. And he needs to establish himself as the one of the top babyfaces on Raw. So I don't really know who should win this match.
It should be a Joe win, but like protect.
Are we looking at let's have a DQ win?
This
time we get out of trouble. The whole pay-per-view will be DQ wins.
It's funny, like, the amount I've told you earlier, I'm watching a lot of 80s wrestling, and the amount of, like, DQ.
Non-finishes. Like,
there's just no finishes, but the crowd don't give a shit because they got entertained. Yeah. Like,
But that was back in the day. I mean, it was always, TV was just full of
the characters.
Like, jobbers being jobbed out every week, and you'd never see a name.
That was the Saturday morning show.
You'd never see a name.
No, you did. Our perception of it was completely different.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was completely different there because we had the Saturday morning show.
Yeah.
But they had a show in between pay-per-views where they actually could do, and they actually have better matches because they're progressing story.
Okay.
And the Saturday night main event, which was in between pay-per-views, and like they really, really do a great job on that. Like, and it's all the big names, and they have like really long matches, and
really
cool. Okay. And they have great backstage segments. Yeah, it's great, great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who do we think is going to win? I don't have a massive interest. I'd like to see Samojo win just because it's something different.
I think they're going to have a really good match. I'm not as interested, like, I'm kind of like you, kind of like, whatever, it's a good feud, but I think that the match itself, once it starts, I'll get into it. Because both of them are such good workers. We've never seen them wrestle before.
That's it's a pity, though, that it's not a massive build and it's on a B-level pay-per-view. I feel this should be like a SummerSlam match.
Yeah, it could be.
Built too properly.
I think Joe, because if he doesn't, he'll be really lost on the show.
What if he did something like, if Joe got set in the Coquina Clutch or whatever it's called, and maybe Set gets to the ropes and like Joe doesn't release it, and then he gets DQ'd or something like that.
Yeah.
And then chokes Set the fuck out, and then he leaves with Set like in bits on the ground, then he can continue the feud from that. Like,
yeah. I'd go along with that.
Either guy winning clean, I think it's going to hurt the other guy so much.
Yeah. What's Joe known as? The Destroyer? Is a Destroyer? Yeah. I mean, let's start destroying things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Next we got Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. This could be alright.
It's going to be a good match.
Yeah.
I think Alexa Bliss is fantastic.
Sprint.
I think, like, look how far she's come in, like, what, a year she's been in the main
roster? Yeah.
And she's a top star now. Like, she's probably going to win.
She was a glorified valet in NXT.
Yeah.
And then got called up. Yeah. And I was thinking, whoa.
But she was getting really, really over in NXT as well, because people respected kind of the work that she was doing.
Yeah.
I know everyone cheers for everyone in NXT, but no, she was standing out. People were kind of pissed off that she wasn't in the title picture.
Yeah.
And she was getting quite
a lot of cheers. I think it's a breath of fresh air having her on Raw and Charlotte on SmackDown, because it's the same old Sasha and Bayley coming out, and they love each other, and when is Sasha going to turn
up? I feel sorry for the two of them, because two of my favourite wrestlers and they're being given absolute dork.
But now they have Alexa. Like that,
they really are.
But that segment on Raw was good this week, though.
It wasn't.
I liked it.
The reason I don't like it is because they have two baby faces ganging up against the heel, and it doesn't make any sense.
The main event of the Raw was the handicap match.
Yeah. I don't understand that. There's complete logic flaws all over the place of that, for me.
Two on one is two heels against a baby face.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's weird.
It is weird, because Liberty, for me, even watching, I'm just going, I don't get this. Like, what am I supposed to think watching this?
Yeah.
I've no idea, like, you know. And I still kind of, I'm rooting against Alexa for the wrong reasons.
I'm rooting for Alexa.
I'm rooting against her.
She walks out there, she's a star, she's a champ.
She's probably, apart from Charlotte, she's...
Yeah, but for me, knowing that this is them booking her to look a certain way, I'm rooting against her for that way, because she got the... Yeah. I think she got the SmackDown Women's belt too quick. I think Becky was doing a fine job. She got that belt too quick. Like, she got it instantly, you know, and she's probably going to do the same again, and it's...
But if you look at the roster, who has as much presence in the ring as her? And Charlotte is the only one.
Yeah. Apart from Charlotte, she's the best on the mic.
Yeah, she's best on the mic, and she's the best presence, and her attitude is flowing out of her on the way to the ring.
Her facial expressions are unbelievable.
No, but she hasn't built her way up with great matches on pay-per-views.
No.
She hasn't. She doesn't have bad
matches, though, either.
But in terms of, like, you know, there should be some sort of build. We should be rooting. We should want to see her get that title shot. She shouldn't get that title shot instantly.
Yeah.
We should almost be willing it to happen.
But have they mirrored both shows, really? Like, you know, we did a trade, Charlotte for
oh, yeah. But that, Alexa, apparently it's just because they wanted to turn Charlotte babyface for some reason.
But, I mean, Charlotte's getting the title shot.
She's winning.
Alexa has,
but she didn't win. She didn't win, which was weird. Yeah. Like,
but she's going to win the next
one. Everyone, exactly. There was a theory that, like, Alexa was going over, but they wanted to make sure that Charlotte was the first woman to hold both SmackDown and Raw women's titles. But obviously, that's changing. She didn't win. But it's interesting that she's going babyface, though.
So that's all the matches. Are you looking forward to it, lads? Or
it's one of those ones where I think all of the matches will be good. I'm just not super hyped for any of it. Like, I remember last year for Payback, AJ Styles had won the number one contendership, and it was AJ against Roman. I was really excited about that, even though I knew Roman was going to win, but I knew they were going to tear the house down, which they did. Unbelievable match. And actually, Payback, so if you look back there's always been a great match on pretty much every Payback. Last year we had Sami Zayn.
I think there's less pressure as well on the performers. Yeah. You know, there's probably a bit more freedom to, you know, try different things. Like,
I think we're gonna, the next time we talk, we're gonna be very satisfied with, regardless of the results of the pay per view itself. I think we're gonna be entertained.
I think Roman and Braun will be entertaining.
Yes.
You know, Rollins and Joe will probably be a great match. Yeah. Like, you know, Owens will probably, you know, as I said, his card's evolving. You know, there'd be something interesting, I think, in those matches.
What are your feelings about Mania? Obviously, Balor was fit to come back, but he didn't come back. He's debuted the next night on Raw. We've had a few weeks since Balor's been back. I haven't been mad on how he's been booked. Are we due a Balor run-in now? Because, I mean, Balor's last words, I saw a meme of it and it reminded me. I was like, Jesus, yeah. Balor's last words on TV when he went out injured was, when I come back, the first thing I'm doing is going after my title. And then, you know,
they've forgotten that themselves.
His title's on holiday.
I know, but the panel below is Brock Lesnar laughing, holding the title. So you've got Balor back and there's nothing for him to do.
So you saw that. You all saw that. You just didn't respond to it in the group chat, though.
Oh, sorry. I was lolling privately. Not everything it needs a lol, Dave. It feels secure enough.
It was.
Or a fist.
We might have a fist. It feels weird. I don't want to fist people.
Paul keeps giving us the fist.
Some people can change it, right? But like he's the sixth man in six man tag matches. It's like, I don't, like, what the fuck?
It's like, we don't have anything for him to do a Payback.
Don't bring him back.
But we want to bring him back. They wanted that pop on the Raw after WrestleMania because you need something. They had it with Cesaro last year. You need somebody to come in for that.
But
pop.
Like, what? Like,
I think it's hard because I think Taz said it like in his podcast. He was really upset with how they booked Balor since he returned. He has to have a goal. He has no goal with him. He's just the guy that, like, oh, you know, Enzo's out, I'll be your tag team partner. Like, well, what's his agenda? What's he after? Like, you know,
why the fuck is he lifting up Seth Rollins' arm or vice versa?
Yeah.
Like, Seth Rollins,
I actually like that. That was pretty good.
Seth did it in sync with the fucking din.
I thought that was pretty cool because he was the one that injured him. And Seth is a babyface now, and it was a great. I mean, they broke.
How you make Balor interesting is you say, I don't care if you're a babyface now. You still put me out.
He was giving him a square look though, like, and they kind of played on.
No, it was a moment. I thought it was a moment. Well, and it was like, you know, hey, look, we know what we did, and all right, we're on the same page here. You know what I mean? We're both in this to win, and they celebrated their win. For me, what I thought was a really, really nice moment. That was earned.
But did you feel like, I watched him? He came out and he fought Curt Hawkins, and he barely. He didn't even look.
He
looked at the crowd when he got the pin, and it was like, oh, is this a bit of like a tough man, you know, verging on heel thing? Will he just snap and beat the shit out of Seth? I always see that.
The problem is, probably why it didn't resonate with you as much as me, like, would be that he was a surprise entrant in that match.
Oh, I liked that. I was surprised.
That was good, but they went with that idea. Now, Rollins raising his hand would have made more sense if they had built that in a tension between the two of them and maybe a promo beforehand. Like, you know, oh no, they're tagging tonight. Can they be on the same page? He's the one that put him on the shelf. Mm. That it would have made more sense if they had it.
Or even if he was hesitant to tag him in and all that kind of stuff.
But they wanted the surprise, which was a good surprise, as opposed to, and that's why that didn't. But in terms of like what Rollins, his character evolving, it made sense for him to kind of go over and do that.
That's fine, but it doesn't make sense for Balor's character, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Balor's character should be, grand, I'll come back and I'll tag in, but I'm only tagging in to get close to you, so that when you raise my hand, I'm just going to spin around and kick you in the head.
Yeah,
you didn't see that coming, did you?
Now I'm going to break Steve Austin, like, you know,
what is he though?
He's a demon.
What the fuck?
Demon King.
Yeah, but demons are villains. You know, like, it doesn't make sense.
I think hopefully it'll make sense post Payback. Like, he has a segment with the Miz.
So, on that, do you think we're going to get a run in? I suppose, Linda, do you think we'll get a run in from Balor? This is the second pay per view he won't be on.
No, he's on.
I think we'll want one after you're saying it, but
he's on a segment of Miz TV in the pre show.
Yeah, but like.
Yeah, he's going to come out. And the Miz is going to trash talk him, and he's going to give him his finish, and that'll be it. Seriously, though. As Taz said, the Miz will take a massive bump like he always does, and that's it. Like,
But like, that's not.
Why does the Miz have Miz TV? He just gets the shit kicked out of him every time he has it.
I quite like
it's the worst idea ever.
I liked on Raw that they had all three shows and they to change it without even going to an ad. It's like, did you see that? No. So the Jericho came out and it was Talk. What's his?
Talk is Jericho on it. It's the highlight reel.
The highlight reel. Mm-hmm. And then Miz comes out and he's like, turn all this off. Like, this is Miz TV. So all the guys get in, they start rolling at the carpet. They get rid of the Geritone 5000, whatever it's called. But then Ambrose comes out. And then they got rid of the Ambrose. They did it all in one segment. It was really, really cool.
That's clever. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, I just love seeing them do more with Balor, and it just feels like a wasted opportunity. You have a built-in feud there to take advantage of. He went out injured. He was the first ever Universal Champion. That was all taken away from him. You show him on TV the next day, so proud. You've all this footage you keep showing of him with his family. You know, he has to go home. He's disappointment. All this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you don't do anything with it. It's a built-in feud.
We thought Seth Rollins' return was anticlimactic, and Finn's is even worse. Like,
yeah, like they just seem to... They have something right there, ready for the taking. Yeah. And then they hold it off. They push it off till the point when people... stop caring, and it's like,
but you can't bring it back.
They do, they always do bring it back, and it never works. No. They always do bring it back.
And the only, I think, the way to get Seth Rollins' babyface to work is to have Balor heel.
Yeah, see, the problem with that is they'll cheer Balor over Rollins.
I don't think so.
I think they will.
I think if you let Balor do what he was doing in Japan and be a total bollocks,
yeah,
it'd be grand.
I think Rollins lately, I mean, last thing we talked about, like, you know, his tour and stuff. I think the last couple of weeks he's been great. He's had a few moments, like
we were talking
about pedigree moments.
That pedigree moment where he looked at the crowd, he's like, I'm gonna do it, and he stopped.
Exactly what we were complaining about. And he did that moment where he, like, he says no, like, I mean, he said to the crowd, like, you know, I'll never make the same mistake again. And then he followed that up again by going for the pedigree and going no.
That's the end of our predictions for Payback, so hopefully we were right and everything. And thanks for listening. Welcome, Paul.
I've been Richie. I'm going to have a protein bar.
I'm still there. I'm going to look at him.
I might have a bag of crisps, maybe. Thanks.
What if you were to join a certain club? Oh! You're going to join the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. Come on. It's not like you have to kiss some big old greasy, fat, hairy Oklahoma ass.
That would be yours, JR. Come on.
I've got a nice ass. He needs to kiss my ass. I got to tell you. That's a mighty fine looking ass, isn't it? It can do tricks. Watch this.